Here's a tip from Georgia Power. Always be cautious of water levels. Quickly go to high ground if you see or hear rapidly rising water. Learn more at georgiapower.com.
This is WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul. Coming up next, Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hessler. According to the Americans for the Arts and Economic Prosperity 5 study conducted in 2015, the results of which you can find on the City of Savannah's website, the arts and culture sector in Greater Savannah contributed $135.9 million in total economic activity, including $14.7 million in local and state government revenue, i.e. tax money. Every single day, you can engage in an arts or culture activity. Within the visual arts alone, Savannah has two major monthly events, First Fridays in Starland and the second Saturday Downtown Art Walk. Add to that independent receptions at the dozens of art venues around town at places like Location Gallery, Laney Contemporary, The Hen House, and Cedar House Gallery, and you can be assured that there is an art exhibition opening every Friday and Saturday night for almost every single weekend for the entire year. Three local colleges have major art programs, including the Savannah College of Art and Design, one of the most prestigious art schools in the entire country. Atop Savannah City Hall's fourth floor balcony are two statues, one representing commerce and the other representing arts. And yet, when it's time for budget cuts, what are the first programs to get the axe? Savannah artists, it's time to take our power. We are the city of Savannah. We are the people who live here, who work here, who struggle day after day. Meanwhile, new hotels rise in the place of historic buildings. Millions are spent on parking garages and arenas that we can't even afford to use. Advertising dollars go towards showing images of clown-faced tourists shopping at the chain stores that have overrun Broughton, while we beg, hat in hand, that our city government will hand us a few meager scraps so that we can barely survive. I say no more. We, as artists, must join together as one collective voice. A voice that doesn't wait until another round of budget cuts threaten to take what little we have before we march on City Hall. A voice that demands that our city respects us, funds us, and supports us. Because we are artists, and we are Savannah. This is Art on the Air, an hour-long interview show dedicated to the visual arts community of Savannah. Hosted by artist and art advocate Rob Hessler. Each week, we speak with the who's who of the Savannah art scene to get all of the details on the best art exhibitions, residencies, projects, stories, and events that our city has to offer. This includes long-form sit-down interviews and on-location field notes, from artists' first show in a cafe to career museum retrospectives and everything in between. Our weekly mission is to support and enhance the burgeoning Savannah art scene. If it's visual arts in Savannah, we've got you covered. Now here's your host, Rob Hessler.
Come on down to Art on the Air. I am Rob Hessler, and this is Art on the Air. Welcome, another Wednesday, just after 3 o'clock. I've got in-studio guest Lisa Rosenmeyer here with me. How's it going, Lisa?
It's going great.
So glad to have Lisa here. I have been a big fan of her work for a long time, and she's got an exhibition opening this Friday over at Location Gallery that we're going to talk all about. It's called Something to Say, and I love the promo pieces that I've gotten a chance to see for that, and I think that they've been kind of making their rounds on social media, so maybe a lot of you out there have seen them as well. A lot of fun there. We've got a field note coming up at the end of the show today, too, with Clinton Edminster and Xavier Hutchins about the Starland Mural Project. Got about 10 minutes to talk to them all about that project. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to see anything about that, but it's on the front cover of Connect Savannah this week. The Mural of the Story is the name of the story. And before we went on the air today, Lisa and I were here talking, and apparently, Lisa, you started with murals. That was your first thing.
I did. I started off painting murals and stuff for people in their homes and businesses.
Before you even put paint to canvas.
Yes, before I even put paint to canvas, I was putting it on the wall.
That's very cool. And of course, this Starland Mural Project is designed to put 8 new murals on the dairy, and I know that they're trying to raise money, and Clinton and Xavier are going to talk all about that. We're going to play that at the end of the show. Before we dive into our interview here with Lisa, though, I really wanted to just quickly say, give a big shout out and a big thank you to Peter Roberts and Location Gallery for the incredible 300 and Under show that ended last Friday, a big fundraiser for this station. It was just unbelievably successful. Thank you all for coming out to see the show, and thank you to the, I believe, 55 artists that were in it, including you.
I was one of them. There was a bunch. I think 55 is right.
About 300 pieces were on the wall there, which was great. You and I were not the fortunate sellers of our artwork.
Oh, that's okay. I'm giving them a second chance this weekend.
That's a funny thing, too, you know, about being an artist. You never really know when stuff is going to sell. And sometimes, I mean, I'm blown away. Sometimes a piece will sell and I'm like, hey, that really is, that's sold? And then there's other times where I'm like, oh, this is a guaranteed sale.
Yeah.
And then it's like, 3 years later, it's still in my studio. So that goes to show you. It was such a great show and so many great artists. And in fact, I got to meet a bunch of people that I didn't know before. That's part of the mission Peter and I put together when we were choosing artists, is we wanted to have artists that we had either had on the radio show before, and that's kind of the collaboration there, or people that Peter thought would be somebody we would love to have on the radio show later. And of course, we've had you on the show very briefly before, Lisa.
Yeah, a little blip.
A little snippet when we had the 4th of July episode. But I know that Peter knew how much that I liked your work and that we would eventually want to have you on the show. And there's a bunch of other artists that are going to be coming up. Angela Burson, for example, is somebody that's going to be coming up in October, whose work I've been a big admirer for a long time. And she was in the show, but she's never been on our show. So the exhibition was just such a huge success. So really, thank you, Peter. And Peter does all of this work. I mean, he gets paid a little bit, but for the amount of work he puts in to try to help this art community, he's not being paid nearly enough.
No, you can definitely tell he's doing this as a passion for the arts.
Absolutely. And of course, he curated your exhibition, Lisa.
Yes.
Which again is called Something to Say. It opens up at Location Gallery this Friday, September 20th at 5 p.m., 5 to 8 p.m. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Why don't we get right into our interview here? And I'm going to read. So we were talking before the show, and Lisa's laughing because she knows what's coming. So, you know, I get as host of this show, I get all of these press releases for various shows from various galleries around town. And of course, I'm on the Location Gallery mailing list. And I got this a nice mailing about Lisa's show, and it had this very nicely sort of curated bio associated with it. But then Lisa sent me her own bio.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't really so much a bio as it as it's kind of like
bullet points
like life story bullet points. And I think I kind of feel like, hey, we got some inside access here. So I'm going to read the nice, clean bio, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm also going to
class me up a little.
You don't need any classing up, but I'm going to read that, and then we will also hit on some of the points that you put in your bullet points here, because I think that some of them are funny. So without further ado,
This week's in-studio guest, of course, is Lisa Rosenmeyer. And lifelong artist and illustrator Lisa Rosenmeyer grew up in a military family and developed an artistic talent as a way to express the many places she called home. A self-described wild child, her fondness for animals was balanced with a healthy respect for all creatures. She finds human beings fascinating, complicated, and confusing, and has read copious amounts of sociology and psychology to try and better understand human behavior. Her latest exhibition, Something to Say, which opens Friday, September 20th at Location Gallery, is a body of work that editorializes human foibles and strengths via the animal form. By rendering the animals true to form, their internal personalities are allowed to express a message of kind intelligence and perhaps give viewers some visual cues to navigate today's modern complexities of life. Welcome, Lisa Rosenmeyer, to Art on the Air.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
So happy to have you. And I love these works, and I've posted up a number of them on the Art on the Air Facebook page. I know you've been sharing them around.
Yes.
And Location Gallery has shared some of these. So if you go online, you go onto Facebook and on Instagram, you can find a lot of these images. They are so fun and so beautiful. And I want to get into everything about the show, but let's take a step back. So first of all, you grew up in a military family, so you're traveling around a lot.
Yeah.
And you said that you kind of developed an interest in art to deal with traveling all over the place. So talk a little bit about that. Like, what are those first moments of, you know what, I need to use these pencils, pens, crayons, whatever it might be to express where I'm at?
Oh my gosh, the very first time was, gosh, I wasn't even in kindergarten yet. And I remember my mom used to put on the afternoon news channels, and the weatherman would come on, he would draw these stick figures. And I just very precociously announced one day that I could do better than him.
Nice.
and after that, my parents started providing me with, you know, the standard crayons and everything. And it just bloomed from there.
Very cool. And so one of the things that I'm really intrigued about, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about that progress, because you don't have an art degree.
No.
But if you looked at your work, if anybody looks at your work, it's so technically skilled. It's not, you know, there's no, I mean, to be honest with you, you're far more technically skilled than I am. And I went to art school, and I would say that you're in that top 5 percentile. So you're doing very well.
Thank you.
But that's self-trained, right? I mean, so it's more than just, I decided to pick up my pencils and crayons and be better. Like, what kind of drove you to educate yourself?
Right. It's the always challenging myself, wanting to push forward, see what I can do. What's the next step? Can I take it further? I've tried with a couple other different styles, and I went into a plein air style for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I was having to force myself to really concentrate on that. And I was like, you know, let's just go organic. Let's just see what I produce, what naturally comes out of me and how I flow. And what you're seeing now in the work that I'm producing, that's just me. You know, there's no preconceived thoughts. It's me going into the zone, ignoring everything else around me. And so when they come to the show, they'll see really honest work.
And so another little snippet that isn't in the polished bio, but I think is an important component of your artistic study, is that you co-owned a comic book store for 11
years. Yes, for 11 years.
So, I mean, obviously that influenced what you do.
Oh, yes, yes. You can't spend 11 years in a comic book store and not be influenced by it. It was really great because we also had the opportunity to be near one of the major drawing studios for DC Comics.
Oh, okay. So where was this then?
It was in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I got to see firsthand them and how they would draw. I've always had a love of the line.
Mm-hmm.
So that people will notice that, you know, a lot of my stuff has an outlining feel to it that gives it that illustrative look.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, well, but it's not illustrated at the same time. And it's like, yeah, I kind of fused, you know, realism and illustration together in a way.
Yeah, yeah. So, almost feel like it's kind of, it reminds me of a lot of like animation, actually.
Yeah.
Like old hand-drawn animation, not like the more computery kind of stuff now.
Right.
But it reminds me a lot of that. Almost like, you know, when I see your work, I kind of, it feels a lot to me like when I was a kid and you'd go into, you know, every now and then as a kid, you'd see like, and this was always magical for me, you'd see one of the cells, like where it's drawn. And that to me is like, that's your work when I look at, when
well,
I see what you do.
Hayao Miyazaki is actually one of my favorite animators.
Okay.
From Japan. I love his work. I used to have all of his movies and stuff that he did, and a couple of side little shorts but my son's now in the possession of those.
Well, so now, you know, you mentioned that he's your favorite Japanese artist, but you also worked for a company that imported Japanese kimonos. I'm like, yes, wondering, there's, I mean, am I drawing some connections here?
Yeah, well, the comic book store actually led me to the Japanese kimonos, and you know, knowing about Hayao Miyazaki and stuff also came through. I was involved at the comic book store at the time of the height of the anime invasion, I would say, to the Americas.
Mm.
When everyone was talking Pokemon and everything was Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z. And I'm learning about, you know, Pompoko Tanuki, one of my absolute favorite films. It's a little quirky. I love it.
Tell me about that film. I'm not familiar.
Pompoko Tanuki is basically, it's mythical creatures, but they look more like raccoon badgers. And they live in the forest, and the forest is now starting to be encroached upon because of human civilization and development. And the Tanukis have mystical powers like fairies and things like this. And they are trying to basically scare away the construction crew and the people to keep their forest intact.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful show, actually. And I can see somewhat of a connection to your work, actually, in just thinking about that. But you were working for this company that would import Japanese kimonos, and you said to me that you would teach people how to wear them, and your exact words, that led to a side job that was kind of like a geisha. So what? Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah. While going to conventions with the comic book store, I got to meet somebody who was bringing in traditional kimonos at one of the anime conventions that was all over the states. And I thought they were beautiful. She asked if she could wrap me up in one to promote her thing real quick before the exhibit opened. And I said, sure, why not? Who's going to pass up a chance to find, you know, to wear something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, I ended up purchasing that kimono, and I didn't know how to wear it or how to get back in it. So I, you know, did all the research I could, found instructions in Japanese, but luckily they do great pictures. And next time she saw me, I was actually wearing it in full proper garb. And she's like, wait a minute, come here. I need you. Can you show me how you did this? And I did on the spot. And then she's like, I want to hire you tonight for a talk. And unbeknownst to me, I ended up standing in front of 300 people, showing people how to put on one of these garments. About the fifth time I did that for her, because of other conventions, I would then go on tour with her. There were some gentlemen from a Japanese company who were very, very impressed and insisted that we go out to dinner, and that we all had to be in kimono. And then that kind of kicked a side job that happened afterwards on conventions, is that we basically would go out dressed in kimono. They would buy our dinners and stuff, and it was just supposed to be telling jokes and being fun and entertaining, just to have something pretty for them to be with. And I was
wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I was, in fact, before 9/11 hit, I was supposed to head over to Tokyo, Japan, as an oddity of, look at this crazy American who can dress this way. And I was supposed to meet several people, but unfortunately 9/11 ended that.
Wow, that's an incredible story. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Art on the Air on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul. I'm Rob Hessler, your host here. I am with Lisa Rosenmeyer today. And, of course, she has an exhibition that is opening up this Friday over at Location Gallery called Something to Say. But we're kind of digging into the details of her past. And another little detail that I thought was really interesting is that you said that you started your art career in 2009. So that's like only been a decade. So what does that mean to you? Like, what does starting an art career really mean? Because obviously you were doing artwork before then. Yeah.
I mean, I did start off and I had done the murals and stuff, but I never really saw it as a career, as a business plan. And then in 2009, of course, after the housing market crash, what a great time to come out as an artist. It was from the murals that one of the person that actually planted the idea in my head said, I wanted to take the wall with me. I hated leaving it behind.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to transfer this over to canvas. And so this way, no one has to leave work behind ever again. You know, they could take it with them. And I started producing stuff, and it wasn't until I started doing a few shows in coffee shops, like a lot of artists start out.
Right, right, you know? Right.
And I got a couple
many of, I will just say this, just to interject, we don't have those barriers here at this show. So, I mean, yeah. we've had people on who are having their first show at a coffee shop, and it is blowing us away. So yeah. there's no, you know, and there, it, our listeners out there, don't, if you're a new yeah. artist, don't think that that's like something to be ashamed of or whatever, because no. there's a lot of good artwork no. In your coffee shop. So.
In fact, some of my best exhibits have been in coffee shops. Say some of the best ones. And I had one person say, wait a minute, you can't sell in a coffee shop. And I was like, well, I don't know. This big fat check they just handed me says otherwise.
Right. And that's a really important thing too, you know, because we think, you know, there's statistics that say that in a gallery or museum, people spend an average between 3 and 5 seconds in front of a piece of artwork. Yeah. But in a coffee shop or a cafe, people are sitting there and they're yeah. eating or drinking a coffee, and the work is in front of them and it's entering their consciousness yes. for an extended period of yes. time. And I've heard actually from you know, stories, anecdotes from some of the people who run galleries and coffee shops around town that they do pretty well
yes.
here in Savannah.
Yes, so. They do. In fact, I had an exhibit a couple years back at one of the coffee shops in town, and they were telling me this lady was there, got up from the table, went over to the wall, literally removed the painting from the wall and says, I'm buying this and I'm taking it home right now. She wasn't going to let the show finish. She was insistent that it was hers. So they let her, they were just like, okay.
Well, that's really, that is pretty funny. So you started doing some coffee shop shows, and then where did it go from there?
You know, then you sit there and you go, okay, I've accomplished the coffee shop rounds. You know, and you look for galleries, and you send out invites to your shows to them to come and look at your work, hoping someone snags you up. And I've been lucky to have gallery representation now by a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. You want to name those galleries here?
Of course, Location Gallery has yeah. been awesome. I've been so privileged many times with Peter being included in group shows.
You've been
shows.
In many of his shows.
Many yeah, of his group yeah. shows. I always love working with Peter.
In fact, know. I'm just going to point out, I have this book that you brought me
yes.
today, which is very sweet of you. So the Happiness Is exhibition, which was inspired by the artwork of Charles M. Schulz, the
yes.
creator of Peanuts, and you had these you had this piece here, and you Lisa created this. Well, why don't you describe what we've got here?
Basically, I had chosen Linus as my character to express. And I was like, oh my gosh, right? Linus is all about this blue blanket. So I ended up creating a book with a blue blanket on the cover that says, what color is your blanket? The
Finding Personal Happiness
yes.
is the subtitle.
And I kind of saw this like, okay, if Linus grew up, because he was always in philosophy and he was always the one that kept everyone calm or smoothed things over, I was like, he would be a psychiatrist or something, and he would have written a book like this.
And then, of course, I go to the show opening, and I'm like, oh, this would be so much better if you could open the book. Of course, I stick my foot in my mouth like that. Although it did result in me getting this wonderful book, which you can open now,
yes.
this journal. So I will say maybe it was smart for me to say that.
Yes, I think so.
So you started doing some group shows and getting some gallery representations.
Yeah, gallery representation. And now the next thing, you sit there and you go, okay, I've got the galleries. So let's start knocking on the doors of museums. And that's kind of where I'm at, you know, doing those solo shows and knocking on the doors of museums now and seeing where that's going to take me. You always look for that next step. If your career's not making you nervous and thinking you're got knots in your stomach, you're not pushing hard enough.
I love that you say that. You know, we've had a number of conversations over the past, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I didn't recognize this drive in you. But then when I was reading about this, I know you're also a competitive runner.
Yes.
And you've won some races from what I understand.
Yes.
So talk, I mean, I think that there's, I know this is an art show, but I kind of feel like that drive, there's some relation there, the competitive nature.
Yeah, there is that competitive nature. The one thing I do love about the running community is that you can be very, very competitive to somebody. You'll be standing there towing the line, getting ready for that gun to go off, and you two are talking to each other, giving each other, you know, flack and saying things, and the gun goes off, you're running, and it's like you get to the finish line and you're lucky if you're the one first, or if not, you try to make them be the best one at first. And when it's all said and done, you're hugging each other and congratulating each other. And so it's this incredible push to make you the best you can be without necessarily taking somebody else down in the process.
Right. Beautifully said.
Yeah. And so that's the one reason why I was so drawn to running, is it lets you have that competitive drive without having to be ugly. It's not about knocking somebody down so you can rise to the glory. It's so that you can strive your hardest.
Well, and you know what? That's so easily transferable to art as well. And yeah. we talk about that a lot here on the radio show. And I know that it's a big part of the philosophy that Peter Roberts yes. practices with Location Gallery. And that's that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we're not pushing each other in a way to right. be the best artist that we can possibly be. Yeah. Because we do need to all be better to make right. all of the community better. I yes. mean, as individuals. Yeah. So, well, that's really fascinating to me. And I think it's a good transition into, let's talk a little bit about your show. We're going to spend an extended time. So we're going to run into the break here before we're done talking about it, but that's okay. and I want to go back to the statement on the show here, because I think it has some beautiful language. Did you write this or did Peter write this?
Which one? The one I gave you or the one Peter wrote?
Let's see. Something to Say is a body of work that editorializes human foibles and strengths via the animal form. By rendering the animals true to form, their internal personalities are allowed to express a message of kind intelligence and perhaps give viewers some visual cues to navigate today's modern complexities of life. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Peter was the wordsmith on that one.
He is a wordsmith, I
yeah,
will say.
Yeah, I can get so far and I can get chunks in, but I can't quite always seem to piece all my words together. I'm much better with paint than I am with pen.
Well, and Peter spent a lot of time in TV and marketing, so he's really got that down. But just to add a little bit, you said you sent me in a description of your work. My work is often described as uplifting, happy, clean, and even whimsical. You said, need to work on the last one, hoping for more funny. I see funny there, actually.
Oh, good.
I mean, I think so. But I do think that it's a simple but powerful message. And I was telling you, you know, I've only seen, I believe, four of the pieces that are mm-hmm. going to be in the show, promo images. But there's this one where there's all these little bunny rabbits that are holding up a bear.
Yes.
So there's like, I don't know, a dozen or more bunny rabbits lifting up this bear, beautifully rendered, first of all. And the bear is reaching up towards the beehive to get the honey. And, like, bear, rabbits don't necessarily mix, but there's sort of like, to me, there's like this underlying, like, positivity, like working together. Mm-hmm. There's something just so beautiful, like, about, it just makes me feel good to look at them.
Yeah. It should be. It's, you know, that's the, even I have a few pieces that some people say, oh, that's a little sad. And it's not so much to get people, when they look at those, to make them sad. It's to get you talking, to get you communicating, mm-hmm. to lift people out of ideas and thoughts. The bear piece in particular, of course, is definitely one of those happier pieces. And it is geared to show that, all my little bunnies are all different colors and everything. I did that on purpose to show that no matter where your support comes from, no matter how much, because some of those bunnies are really lifting hard. Some of those bunnies are, you know, they're kind of slacker bunnies, but they're still involved, you know.
That is the way it is in life, though.
Yes.
There's usually, you know, there's the group project and some people do a little more work. Let's
yes.
be real.
But even if they're just putting one finger on the support, that is one finger more than what you had without them.
Exactly.
And so every little bit, no matter where it comes from, you know, can help lift the strongest of creatures to reach your goal.
And I mean, I'm just going to kind of say something right now. You know, I know most of our listeners are part of the Savannah art community. Mm-hmm. And there is something, you know, to be said about that as far as like supporting the art community. It takes literally no time to click like on Facebook, right. to, you know, like an image on Instagram, to share somebody's event. Yeah. That doesn't take any effort. Like you right. literally spend, it's the most minimal amount of effort, but it does matter. It gets, you know, it works their algorithm so more people
yeah.
see it. And it is a kind of support that, like you said, it's
yeah.
the one bunny putting the
yeah,
finger
you,
in.
Yeah, it's putting that one finger on, but it's needed.
It is needed. Now, you mentioned that some of the work, you know, might be sort of interpreted as sad. And I do kind of want to delve into that because there's a piece where there is a fish in a fishbowl looking at a fish in the sea. And I want to talk about that. But we're up against our break, so we'll come back on the other side of this and delve more into that. You're listening to Art on the Air on WRUULP Savannah. Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. I'm Rob Hessler, and we're speaking today with Lisa Rosenmeyer all about her exhibition, Something to Say. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break.
WRUU 107.5 FM is a new and different listener-supported and all-volunteer community radio station for Savannah. Our diverse broadcast and web programming is supported by generous listeners who value our passion and spunk. We are independent of other media and receive no government or large corporate support. People like you are the largest and most important source of our funding. Go to WRUU.org to find out how you can make a one-time or monthly contribution. Thank you.
And welcome back to Art on the Air. I'm Rob Hessler, your host, and we're in the studio today with Lisa Rosenmeyer. We're talking all about her current upcoming exhibition, Something to Say, opening at Location Gallery this Friday night from 5 to 8 p.m. That's at 417 Whitaker Street. If you're wondering where the address is, that's going to be a really good time. There's a lot of good stuff going on this Friday, actually. I'm pretty excited to get there early and check out the show. I want to read this little quote from you that you sent to me, and I think, and kind of use that as a jumping off point to talk about the painting I mentioned right before we went to break. You said, "Some people give up. I won't. That's what I bring to my art. Life is hard, but I refuse to give into self-pity, and I would like to give that some kind of hope to others." And I was describing this piece where there is a fish in a fishbowl floating in the ocean, and there is another fish that's in the ocean that's looking up, and they're kind of eye to eye looking at each other in the ocean. And I will say I feel a little sad when I see this. But I mean, it's also two different worlds. So talk about that painting and specifically. And I want to point out to our listening audience, if you'd like to see that piece, you can go to the Art on the Air Facebook page. I posted those up there so you can look at them live while we're talking about it. But give us some details about that piece.
Yeah, that piece, it's called The Other Side. It's to hopefully get people talking about how different worlds, you know, sometimes are like coexisting within the same zone. Mm-hmm. But they're completely different from each other. And it's not necessarily that one of them has a better world or a worse world than the other. But at the same time, either one of their worlds could change at any moment. And they have different challenges or different comforts.
And so you're exploring that a lot, though, in your work. You said that you spent a lot of time reading psychology and sociology. Yeah. And I see those, you know, there's the horse and the deer, one on the beach, one in the boat, and they're looking at each other. And there's sort of this, like, what are they communicating? Mm-hmm.
So I tried to stop that piece right in the moment of that first moment when you meet somebody for the very first time. And you're like, do I have friend? Do I have foe? You know, and you're right at that point before any of those thoughts really start developing, that very first moment of contact. And
which is one of the more challenging moments in life, I think. Yeah. And you don't know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always interesting too. Like, you know, the first impression is sort of what sticks with you. But then sometimes maybe that's not the end of the conversation with people.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen with, you know, in this art world, in this art community, you'll see the same people kind of like at all these things, and the relationships sort of ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And I like that there seems to me, I don't know, it seems very connected to the Savannah. I don't know. I see the Savannah art community within your work a lot. And I wonder if there's any of that there. Maybe I'm just drawing my own conclusions.
No, because, one of the other galleries that also represents me is Gallery 209 down on River Street. Mm-hmm. And that one is a co-op gallery. So I have to work with 30 other artists on a regular basis. And then the other artists, of course, working alongside Peter and his group shows. And then when you do exhibits and stuff in other places. So I do spend a lot of time interacting with other artists and hearing them talk and say, well, I don't paint like you. I paint this way. And, well, my stuff is this way. I was like, no, it's all valid. We all need all of it. Not everyone's going to like the same thing. And I think it's important that all of us artists do the jobs that we do and the varieties that we do it, because it's somebody out there needs to hear us. And they need it for themselves. So I think artists are incredibly important to the community. We're the ones that safeguard, you know, the culture and the souls of the people within that community.
So. Gosh, that is wonderfully said. I wonder if, you know, just thinking about what you're doing now, you've got these pieces, and there's definitely a consistency. There's a consistency within the body of work, and you haven't seen them all up in the gallery yet, I assume. I went down to location yesterday, and you know, it was just all of the 300 under pieces. So the show is not up yet.
Yeah, but I dropped them off with Peter today.
Okay, so you haven't actually seen them up all on the walls yet, but obviously you're getting ready to see the results of a year plus of work and putting these paintings together. Because I know I saw. Well, at least one of those is like almost 2 years old. So there's been a transition. There's been a long-term process. How do you feel about this body of work?
This body of work is actually very near and dear to me because a lot of it was my own interpretation of how I see things or how I emotionally am affected by things. Mm. And then also not wanting to turn it into a negative. So even when you see things that are difficult, it's like, okay, how can I get people to talk about a conversation about something that's root elementary to every core human,
mm-hmm.
and to get us having a conversation instead of screaming at each other or just locking down on one position? Because I really think it's through communication that we can really open the doors of change and growth. And that's one reason why I chose to use animals as the embodiment for this, is because then I don't get tied up. Or it doesn't block anybody with this is black or this is white or this is female or this is male. Mm. I take away all those identifying markers, you know, and leave it down to just the core essence of really what it is to be human.
You know, that's fascinating. And I wonder what kind of experience. So because like an art show opening, a reception is such a strange animal in that it's like a party. It's not really like. You have conversations, and we do, because a lot of us know each other, like, you know, and if you're in the art community and you don't know anybody, just come on by and say hi, because it's a very welcoming and open community. Everybody is welcome. But it's like, it's more of like a social event. But then there's this, like, interesting psychological issues that you're dealing with in these pieces. So I kind of wonder, like, almost, I can imagine, like, people coming to the show, looking at the pieces, and then, like, getting in the car with their, like, significant other or who they came to the show with and having some, like, deep conversation that would not happen at a reception, but that would make sense to, like, resonate later. Because I know that those pieces have stuck in my head when I've, you know, looked at them.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm hoping. You know, yeah, of course, every artist wants their artwork to sell and everything, mm-hmm. but the main core reason why I wanted to do this exhibit is to get people talking, to think, to resonate with them, and to touch somebody on a much deeper level.
Well, I haven't seen all the pieces yet, but the ones that I have a feeling that you're going to succeed in that goal. And I can't wait to see the exhibition, which, of course, opens this Friday over at Location Gallery. That's at 417 Whittaker Street. And the title is appropriate, Something to Say. There is, of course, a message underneath. We're going to take a little bit of a transition into a new segment. It's a bit related to an old segment. So let me just play this quick intro, and then we'll go from there.
And now it's time for Three Big Questions with your host, Rob Hessler.
And there you have that. I just had a little fun with putting that together. So, as you know, David is no longer on this show, and we used to do an Inside the Artist Studio question, list of questions. But we're going to be moving on, and I want to hit onto some deeper things here than we would do there.
Uh-oh.
So, I've got three big questions, and this segment I put together this time myself. But from here on out, I'm going to throw this out to you, listening audience. I'm going to be composing the three big questions from questions that you all submit out there. So I'd like to get some, you know, we put out who our guest is going to be usually Thursday or Friday the week before. And if you've got some questions for who's going to be in studio, you can send that my way and I will ask those questions on the air. Next week, we're having XL Kiefer and Jordan Fitzmooney. For those of you who know them, I'm sure you can come up with some questions because their work is very weird. So here's the first of the three big questions. And this actually comes from my beautiful wife, Gretchen, who threw this out there, and I thought this was a great one. If you weren't an artist, what would you be and why?
A ballerina.
Wow. And why?
Well, I used to love ballet. And in fact, it was a book I found in the library when I was a little girl that I insisted that my mother give me ballet classes. I got all the way to the point of going up on point. That's the beautiful ballet shoes that they walk around their toes. Those are very painful shoes, by the way. But I think it would be a combination of combining the arts with beauty and the strength that it takes for running.
Wow. Well, that's incredible. I mean, and that is, you know, that is a difficult sport, I will say. I mean, I just looking it's at it from an outside perspective. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's a great answer. I think we're off to a good start with our first three big questions. Now let's hit you with a tough one. What is your greatest fear?
Greatest fear. Oh, okay.
You said that you wanted to, if you weren't afraid of the work that you were doing, then you're not pushing yourself enough.
Right.
So I am pushing you in this interview by asking you what your greatest fear is.
You know, it's kind of two things. I'm almost over one of the fears. I used to have an incredible fear of dead birds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had some very unlovely childhood trauma from some neighborhood boys who found dead birds and frogs and decided to dump them over on top of me.
Oh, my God. Well, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
So
that one, but that one's almost cured. I'm almost over that one. You might shock me, but otherwise I'm okay. I would say currently, you know, I'm really starting to feel that midlife, you know, life change, you know? And I would say my biggest fear is not still being able to do what I do.
Well, that's a deep one for sure. And I hear you on that. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not an old man, but I'm not the kid anymore.
Yeah. You know, I'm not in the grave yet, by no means. But yeah, I definitely see where I'm going to start turning the corners here soon.
Well, it's funny because we, you know, we interview on this show a lot of very young artists and they're, you know, sometimes 25, 20, you know, Rachel Flora, who's a good friend of mine, writer for Connect Savannah, she's 26 years old and she's the creative editor of Connect Savannah. And she's got this, and I'm, you know, it's not that, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're
and
talking
about. And
for
those of you who are out there who are in our age range or older, you know exactly what we're talking about. And if you don't, well, good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. All right. Well, I've got one more question, and I think this is a fun one. Who is your biggest inspiration that you know personally, and who is your biggest inspiration that you don't know personally?
As in pertaining towards my career or my life as me as a person in general?
I think it would just be an overall thing. It could be as an artist, because being an artist is a core part of your being, but...
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Person I know... You know, believe it or not, I'm actually inspired a lot by my son. He's 29 years old. He's an artist himself. And I think he's amazing. Of course, he does not think he's near what I think he is. And watching him pursue his career and some of the things that he does. And it's like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to follow suit. So it's motivating and uplifting to see someone that, you know, so close to me, that is jumping in with both feet and taking a hold of their life and going forward.
That is a lovely answer. So, now, what about somebody you don't know? Maybe there's like a personal hero or something along those lines.
I do. This personal hero for me in general in life, historically, is Harriet Tubman.
Oh, good answer.
I got to read her book when actually I was in elementary school to do a book report, and I became absolutely fascinated with her determination, and that not only was it for herself to free herself, but then the courage to go back.
11 times.
Yes.
She went back.
Yeah. Yeah. And never lost a single person. I was like, wow.
You can hear the emotion in your voice, actually, as you're saying it, which is incredible.
Yeah.
We, my wife and I went up to Washington, D.C. this past weekend, and we went to, and I'm going to, not getting the name of the museum right, but it's the National Museum of African American Culture, or something along those lines is what the, is what it's called. And there is a big display on Harriet Tubman, and I was definitely drawn in. And it's one of those, like, true American heroes.
Yes.
You know, there's like, and it comes from a time when there were real heroes. Now it's tough because there's so much information that it's difficult for us to people are so fallible, and you see all of that fallibility. So
yeah, I think it's when we put past the fallibilities and we get past trying to put up these images that aren't really sincere. I think that's where we see our heroes now, the ones that are truly being honest with who they are, not just a, oh, this is the good pick for Facebook, or, oh, this is the image I want to present, right. But this is how they live their daily lives. They're willing to be brave enough to say, yes, this really is who I am, and, you know, be honest with it. And honest, even if it's like, okay, I always like to wear makeup, like, not me personally, but say you are a person who likes to always wear makeup, even in the shower, your hair is always done. That's you. That's your honest you versus, you know, me. No. Right now, you're getting to see the good, polished version of me.
Yeah, I mean, I wore my tuxedo today for this interview, and I got, you know, a nice haircut. No, of course not.
Yeah, but I think if we're just honest with who we really are, you know, and we just start accepting each other based on that.
Very good answer. Lisa Rosenmeier, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show today. Let's finish off this interview by giving all the details once again. Your latest exhibition, Something to Say, opens this Friday, September 20th at Location Gallery. That's 417 Whitaker Street. The opening is from 5 to 8 p.m. And it goes through, obviously, all of the rest of September through early October?
Mid-October.
Very good. Yeah. So you'll have a little bit of a good run there. Lisa Rosenmeier, thank you so much for being on Art of the Air today.
It's been a pleasure.
Very cool. Well, we're going to get to our community calendar here. We don't have a lot of time because we've got a field note coming up with Clinton Edminster and Xavier Hutchins about the new Starland Mural Project. Did want to mention again next week, next Wednesday, September 25th, we're going to have XL Kiefer and Jordan Mooney in to talk about their exhibition that's coming up at Sulphur Studios. And then the following week on Wednesday, October 2nd, we're going to be joined by Daniel Smith. He's got an exhibition coming up at the LGBT Center. And we're going to have a top secret guest host for that episode. Top secret. Nobody knows. Well, actually, one person does know because I told them earlier today. Leslie Lovell, don't tell anybody. But we're going to have a top secret guest co-host for that episode. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to end our show with this field note. Again, Clinton Edminster, Xavier Hutchins talking about the Starland Mural Project. It is a tremendous project. I hope that you all will consider supporting it. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Art in the Air Field Notes. Rob Hessler here with Clinton Edminster and Xavier Hutchins. We're talking about the new Starland Mural Project that Clinton has headed up here. Why don't you tell us what it's all about, Clinton?
Well, thank you for coming out. The Starland Mural Project is basically an endeavor to get some murals painted here in the Starland District. It's not only important that we finish this one project as well, but one of our main goals is to kind of ignite a wildfire of murals in the Starland District. There are so many spaces that could use color or a story or, you know, really just something just much prettier and nicer, more interesting than a blank wall. And I feel like, honestly, this project came out of frustration of not understanding why there were not so many more murals in this neighborhood. And so about like a month ago, I just woke up and I was like, F it, we're doing murals. And it's all really like clicked into place since then, which I think shows that all the elements are there. People are hungry for it. We've got the space, we have the talent, we have the ability to, you know, like actually pay for this as well. And we need to do it.
Yeah, and that is very much in line with your recent column on SavannahNow.com that you talked a lot about public art in. Now, you've managed to round up 8 very talented artists, many of whom who have been on Art on the Air before, actually. So why don't you talk about some of the artists that you've got lined up as muralists for this project?
Yeah, so we have 8 artists that I've either worked with or I've wanted to work with in the past 5, 6, 7 years since I've been doing art stuff around town. It's John Witsky, Xavier Hutchins, Giuliana Lupacino, Kevin Bongang, Tyreek Maxwell, Dana Richardson, Amiri Ferris, and Jose Ray, my lovely neighbor Jose. But each of them will be painting a section of the Starland Dairy over on 41st and Bull Street. If you're familiar with the building, there's columns that go up in sort of every 15-foot sections. And so in between those columns, the artists will be painting designs that they've created.
Very cool. And of course, we have one of those artists here, Xavier Hutchins, who's been on our radio show a couple of times. And I know that our listening audiences are big fans of your work. So, Xavier, you mentioned before we went on that part of this process was putting together a sample image. So tell us what you've kind of got planned, assuming this all comes to fruition.
For me, what I have planned is a representation of what I hear a lot that goes around the city about people in Savannah having the crab in a barrel mentality, which is something that's along the lines of, you know, when you're trying to reach your goals and trying to make it out of whatever situation you're in, there's always something that's holding you back. Maybe it's something that has to do with your peers or anything that has to do in that area. And just how, you know, we can overcome that. So what I gathered was, or what I sketched rather, was something that was a visual representation of that. And also working alongside of the other artists, I kind of was fortunate enough to get a sneak peek of what everybody else was working on. And I'm really excited to work alongside the other seven artists that's involved.
Well, and as an artist myself, I like to think art has value in and of itself, but I know that a big part of this project is that the work that will be made for these murals will also have a certain social consciousness. They're designed to inspire, motivate people, to sort of uplift people as they're walking down in the Starland District and taking a look at these pieces. So, Clinton, the people that you brought in were people that you'd seen doing this kind of work before.
Yes. So I was pretty familiar with everybody's work and had kind of an idea of what folks would be creating. But at the same time, I sort of locked them in before we really had our designs. And it was really wonderful seeing what everybody came to the table with. I'd say, Xavier, your piece is probably one of the more like narrative heavy in terms of sort of like communicating a message or an idea. And then others are just color. Some of them are just lines and shapes. And I think what's so exciting is with eight different artists is the variety of types of designs. Some will make you think. Some will make you just feel great. And then also we've got, you know, you've done a couple murals for sure, but I don't think Tyreek has done a large one. You know, I think Dana's work is usually on a 4x4 inch canvas, you know, and so watching her put something together on a 15 foot by 15 foot, I think will be a fascinating challenge for Dana. And I have absolute and complete faith in her being able to pull it off. Another goal of this project is to get artists practicing on a larger scale so that when somebody thinks, okay, now I want a mural on my wall, who am I going to call? You've got eight more names that we've just added.
Well, yeah, and I was going to actually mention that to you there, Xavier, some of these other artists who are not particularly known as mural artists. So, I mean, are you kind of like the go-to guy within this group? Because I have to imagine you do have some experience that maybe some of these other artists don't have.
I wouldn't go as far as saying the go-to person. I'm just really myself getting my feet wet as far as the mural genre of art, with my first big mural being last year at a photography studio. Mm-hmm. So that's, and when I first did that, that's when I knew that I definitely want to be more involved in doing something along those lines. And then also, I just recently left Atlanta during the Hurricane Dorian or whatnot. I'm from Atlanta and I haven't really had a chance to like visit a lot, but during that last visit, I had a chance to drive around the city and I've seen murals that are skyscraper high, and you know, that just kind of gave me the thought of why can't we have this here in Savannah. And I feel like this is kind of this project is kind of the fire starter to this wildfire, as he says.
Yeah, and Starland, I think, is the perfect place for it, given that it's had such an important role in growing the Savannah art community in the last couple of years. So, Clinton, obviously, you're right now, you're doing some fundraising and you're looking for sponsors and everything like that. So talk a little bit about that.
It's my dream that you can be a muralist in Savannah, and that's your job. That's what you do. You paint murals. People hire you to paint murals, and then you do that, and then you feed yourself, you pay rent, you pay Georgia Power, you go shopping, you maybe have a family that you're able to support. Like, I want that to be a job in this town. And so that requires moving monies around. And so with this particular project, what we're doing is we're fundraising for it, and we've got a goal of $15,000, which will go basically all of the artists, also cover some insurance and getting some photographs and everything recorded. But that all goes to them for the design, for the work, for actually quite a bit of work, because that's not an easy task to paint, you know, something that big at such a detailed size. And so we're doing fundraising because the world revolves around money. And so this project needs money to fuel it. It's no different than anything else. You got to put your money where your mouth is. And we've got to invest not only in public art, but also in artists that can do public art as well.
So if you're an individual art lover and you want to support this project, how can you do that? And let's say that you're somebody maybe who owns a business or who is somebody who has the wherewithal to potentially make a big impact on the funding for this project. How can people sort of connect with the Starland Mural Project to help with the funding?
So I'd say sort of three levels. We've got, if you want to volunteer, we'll fairly soon have a volunteer form up, and we'll just be looking for volunteers to help out with painting. You can just drop in anytime. We're going to have the artists really take the head on doing their own scheduling around when their murals are going to be painted. So you could always volunteer. And then we've also got as much room as possible for small $20, $50, $5 donations on our GoFundMe page. If you are a business or somebody who's interested in really heavily leaning into supporting public art, then check out starlandmurals.com. We've got some sponsorship info for corporate sponsorship, anywhere from $250 up to, I think, about $1,000. I think we have secured so far about three $1,000 sponsorships, which is great. So what that tells me is that we can do this. We can do this, and not just for this project, but for many projects coming forwards in the future. So I would definitely encourage you to check that out. And then one thing that I'd also like to explore, and I've seen this happen in a couple other cities, is that if you are interested in the future and having a mural done, then we could put together a nonprofit organization that'll match 50-50 your mural. So you as a business owner, if you've got a wall, you upfront 50% of the cost, and we'll upfront the other 50%. I would also, just so you know, if you're starting to think about this and you actually want to do something like that, $10 a square foot. That's the budget. That pays for the artist, that pays for the insurance, the materials, the scaffolding, and also being able to record the process as well, which is important. So next time you see a wall, just take a look. How wide is it and how tall is it? Multiply it together and multiply it by 10. And that's probably the budget that you're going to be looking at.
So that's starlandmurals.com, and I'm going to promise you right now, Clinton, that when these murals are being made, I'm going to be walking around, sticking my microphone in people's faces, and getting some feedback from them. Clinton Edminster, Xavier Hutchins, thank you so much for being on Art on the Air Field Notes today.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
That does it for this week's episode of Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hustler, here on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. You can catch Art on the Air live every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can also catch the last 10 episodes of our show on the WRUU archives. That's at www.wruu.org/shows/art-on-the-air. And again, you can listen to the last 10 episodes there, including this one. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch up with you next week, where we'll have another great artist on the air.
Here's a tip from our friends at Georgia Power. Never make your own electrical repairs to Georgia Power equipment. Let our crews do the dangerous work for you. Call Georgia Power at 888-891-0938 to schedule a repair.